Today's reading is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I have to take my glasses off. I'm getting too old now. Elisha and the widow's oil. Now, the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Amen.
Thank you so much for that reading. What a joy it is to gather with you tonight on Pentecost Sunday. And what a holy privilege to celebrate baptism for all of you. And I want to give a special welcome to Pastor Lanry and Pastor Jabike and the congregation. It's a joy to celebrate with our sister church and to be here to see what God is doing across our network. We give God thanks. Amen? Amen. Well, some of you give God thanks anyway. Amen. Pentecost is the day that the church discovered something new and life-changing: the power, the promise, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's breath, God's life, God's vivacity. The connection of love between God the Father and God the Son is the Holy Spirit. The breath that holds the universe in place is the Holy Spirit. The word for spirit is the same as the word for breath or wind, or even in some situations, life. And tonight we celebrate that God has given his breath to his church, his life and his fire to his church. God doesn't merely help, God fills. God doesn't merely patch up, God pours out. And baptism is your public declaration in a few moments that you say, "I belong to Jesus. My old life has gone and my new life has come." You will be buried in this water as if it is a grave. And you will be pulled out of it as a symbol of new life, as a symbol of resurrection life. So tonight, for you that are being baptized and for your families, and for all that are gathering online and here, I want to bring a simple, faith-filled word from the story that you've just heard in 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. And the title is simple: God is able to do more. Not just a little more, not just enough, but more than you could have imagined, more than you could plan for, more than you could produce by willpower or by effort. And I pray that each of us this evening will know the presence and the power of God. A little later, I will be asking some questions. If you have never, ever surrendered your life to Jesus, I'll be asking you to consider that. Here and with several hundred people online, I'll be asking you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you need God's touch, I'll be asking you to consider that. And I will be praying that God will speak to us by his Holy Spirit. In the story that you heard, a widow comes to a prophet called Elisha in her crisis. Her husband has died debt collectors are coming. Her sons are about to be taken into bonded labor. Everything else feels like it is collapsing. And she cries out, essentially, I'm out of options. If God doesn't move, we're finished. Have you ever been there? Maybe you are there this evening. And Elisha asks her a question that sounds almost too ordinary for such a serious moment. What do you have in the house? She answers nothing except for a jar of oil. It's small, it's unimpressive, she thinks. It's not enough. But in the hands of God, a little becomes a location for a miracle. Elisha tells her to do something bold, brave, audacious. He says, go borrow some empty jars. Not one, not a few, as many as you can find. And then go inside and shut the door and start pouring the oil. And as she pours, the oil keeps flowing until the last empty jar is filled. And then the flow stops. She sells the oil, pays the debt, and lives on what remains. This isn't a story about money. This is a story about the heart of God. And on the day that we remember the gift of the Spirit to the church, it echoes the promise of Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Your life is a jar. The Spirit is the oil, and he wants to fill you tonight. God is not stingy. He is not reluctant. He is not limited. God is, in the words of the Apostle Paul to a church in a city called Ephesus, able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can ask or imagine. There's much that I could say about this story, but I don't want to be too long. So I want to just share with you three simple stories, three simple truths. Here's truth number one. God will meet you in your honest need. The miracle begins with a cry, help. Some people think faith means pretending that you're fine, but not in the Bible. In the Bible, faith starts when you tell the truth in the presence of God. Pentecost Day did not happen because the disciples of Jesus were impressive. It happened because they were obedient. They were needy and they were gathered in prayer, aware that they could not do life without God. So they locked themselves away for 10 days. They ironed out their differences and they waited and God came. And tonight, the baptismal candidates, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Baptism is not your announcement of perfection. Baptism is your confession of dependence. You are saying, Jesus, I need you. I am not ashamed to call you my Lord. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your grace. And I want the world to know that I belong to you. You are saying, fill me, lead me, guide me, have the best of my life. I was baptized 10 days after I was born again, 40 years ago. And every time I come to a baptismal service, I want to do it again. I don't need to do it again, of course, because I have been born again by the Spirit. I've been brought into new life and I've been baptized. But that desire to do it again is because it was such a significant moment for me. I remember standing in that water. I remember being asked the questions that you were asked tonight. I remember being plunged into the water. I remember coming up out of the water and knowing that I had done the right thing. And can I give you a bit of a warning? The next couple of weeks after that were very difficult. When you make a stand for God, people will oppose you. In the next few weeks, you might find your life challenging. You might find people saying all kinds of horrible things about you or to you or trying to put you off. You might find doubt rising in your heart. You might find uncertainty rising. Remember your promise tonight and hold on to it. And those that are part of KT know this. 40 years ago, I was baptized. I remember my baptismal promise every single day. Every day of my life. The first prayer that I pray when I get out of bed in the morning, literally every day, never, ever, ever is there an exception. The first thing I pray is, today, Lord Jesus, help me to be faithful to my baptismal promise that I made when I was born again. Help me to love you today. Help me to serve you today. Help me to put you first today. Make it your habit. Make it the thing that you pray, the first thing you get out of bed every single morning of your life. And I promise you will never regret it. It will bring into sharp focus the things that you say yes to and the things that you say no to. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've come to witness a family member being baptized and you're not yet a Christian. Maybe you're joining us online from a virtual private network in a country around the world. We have thousands that do that. You're not yet a follower of Jesus and you may feel like the widow. I am all out of options. I've got good news for you tonight. You are exactly the kind of person that God loves to meet. He is not attracted to the perfect. He is not attracted to those that think they do not need him. God is drawn to humility. He meets honest need with holy supply. And if you have an honest need, he is here tonight by the power of his Spirit. Here's the second truth. God doesn't start with what you don't have. He starts with what you have. And he multiplies what you surrender to him. Elisha's question is one we often wish God wouldn't ask. What do you have? Because many of us want to answer nothing. No strength, no resources, no hope, no story worth celebrating. But you have something. Maybe the only thing we can give him tonight is our pain. He will take it. Our questions, our doubts, our fears, our uncertainties, our sorrow, our grief. God doesn't ask you to give him what you don't have. He asks you to give him what you do have. Stop spending your life thinking about the things you can't do for God and start thinking about the things that he's given you that you can give back. This widow answers the question, nothing except oil. I love the word except. Because accept is where miracles live. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples didn't have money, they didn't have influence, they didn't have status, they didn't have political leverage, but they had one thing. They had a promise from Jesus. And they were willing to hold on to that promise. And God took what they had as they surrendered it and he multiplied it into a global awakening that leads to you sitting here tonight. There is a direct connection between this baptismal service and the day of Pentecost. God, I've nothing for you except. In that moment of accept, God can take us and transform us. I remember as a 17 or 18 year old boy kneeling down in my bedroom with the sun, the moonlight coming through the window in the evening. And I remember getting on my knees and saying to Jesus Christ, all I have is this life. All I have is whatever lies ahead of me. I don't have money. I don't have connections. I wasn't birthed into the church. I wasn't surrounded by Christians. I was 17 years of age. And all I had was a life. And I said, Jesus, take this, this is all I've got, and do whatever you want with it. I never expected him to do what he's done with it. That one word, accept, could be the hinge of your destiny tonight. All I've got is me. All I've got is this moment. All I've got is the next 5 years or 10 years. All I've got is my family. All I've got is a calling. All I've got is my home. All I've got is the life that I'm living. God can take it. And he can use it in ways that you could never imagine. The disciples were met by a God who changes lives. And here's the spiritual principle. God rarely blesses what you clutch to your chest. He multiplies what you lay before him, what you yield. So, baptismal candidates again, your jar of oil might be small. It might be your story. It might be your recent past. But when you surrender it to Jesus, it becomes a channel through which his grace and his Spirit can work. And friend, exploring faith tonight, your jar of oil might simply be this. Jesus, I'm here and I'm open. That small act of surrender can become the beginning of a brand new life. And here's the third truth, the last one. And this part is breathtaking to me. The oil kept flowing until there were no more empty jars. The supply of God did not run out. The emptiness ran out. You've heard this preached lots of times, many of you. And it's always preached about the jars. It ran out when the jars ran out. No, it ran out when the emptiness ran out. Because God delights in ministering to us until our emptiness is gone. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever's empty in your life, bring it to God tonight. Whatever is void, bring it to Jesus, and he will fill it. God's ability is not the limiting factor. It's our capacity to receive that often is. Empty jars matter because they are available. Pentecost Sunday is God's answer to human emptiness. This is not self-improvement. This is not religious performance. This isn't try harder. This is the Holy Spirit poured into lives that are empty. Some of us are too full. Full of self-reliance, full of distraction, full of bitterness, full of shame, full of I can handle it, full of I can do it without anyone's help. I don't think God is here for you tonight. I often say this and people get offended. If you think you're too good for God, don't worry, you're not invited. He doesn't come for the arrogant. He doesn't come for those who have their lives all together. He doesn't come for those that are healthy. He comes for the sick. He comes for those who know they need a savior, who have tried and realized that their lives are empty. God is looking for empty vessels tonight. People who will say, Lord, I need you. Fill me. The night I was baptized, none of my family came. They thought I was as mad as a March hare. I went home the night I was born again and told my family that I had been born again. They had no idea what I was talking about. I didn't really either. I was baptized about 10 days later. Not a single family member came. Many of my family, 40 years on, have never been to church with me. They wouldn't come. I pray that some of your family are here tonight. And if you're here to support them, let me tell you, as someone who has sat where they sit and now stand where I stand, they are not mad. They have found a fulfillment in the Savior. They have found life in Jesus. They have found forgiveness and grace and hope and mercy. They have found a new way of being. They have found freedom and meaning and purpose. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not trying to abandon you. They're not trying to let you down. They want you to see them surrendering their lives in baptism to the Savior that has rescued them. And I'm proud to be here tonight. I count it a privilege to be here to watch you being baptized. I cry at baptismal services every time we have them. So if you hear a splutter in the corner, it's probably me. Baptism is a picture of an emptiness and a filling. Down into the water, I die with Christ. up out of the water, I rise with Christ. And today, getting baptized on Pentecost Sunday, that is cracker. That's what we would say in Northern Ireland, for that is very good. Because as you get baptized today, you're saying, I am not alone. I am filled, I am strengthened, I am accompanied by the very life and breath of God. Wow. And as you are baptized, this is a holy moment. When you go down into the water, you're saying, my old life is gone and my new life has come. My sin is not my identity. My past is not my prison. Shame is not my surname. When you come up, you are saying, Jesus is Lord. I am forgiven. I am made new. I am filled and I am called. And I want to speak this over you in Jesus' name. God is able to do more. More than you fear you've lost. God is able to do more than generational patterns in your life. God is able to do more than addiction's grip. God is able to do more than anxiety's script. God is able to do more than the labels anyone has ever put on you. The same God who multiplied the oil will multiply grace in you. The same God who met that widow in crisis will meet you in every single season. Your baptism is not the end of your journey. It is the beginning of a spirit-filled, God-enabled life. Now let me speak to everyone else who is here. Anyone who has not yet surrendered to Jesus in the building and online. This story that we have reflected on begins with debt and loss, and it mirrors our human condition. Sin creates a debt that we cannot repay. Doing things our way ends up breaking us. And brokenness creates a wound that we cannot heal. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Jesus lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserved to die. And he rose again to offer us new life. And Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on those who believe. You don't have to earn this. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You just come like the widow. Like I came. Like I still come. Needy, open, weak, and Jesus will meet you with mercy. Tonight could be the night of the pivot of your life, not because you are strong, but because God is able. So here is my invitation, and I'm going to make it simple and clear. If you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want a fresh start, if you want God's breath and life to fill you, if you want to come home to a father that has always loved you and always known you, then this is your moment. In the story, they gathered empty jars. Tonight, you are the jar. And the oil is the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the life of God. And he is able to do more. Starting in this very moment, especially in this moment, where there is emptiness, God will pour in life. Where there is bondage, God can break you free. Where there is shame, God can cleanse you. Where there is fear, God can establish you because he is able to do more. In Jesus Christ, old things pass away and new life rises. The Spirit is poured out, and Jesus is exalted.